First of all, I want to thank you for being here today. And just want to say I'm glad that didn't nobody have any problems during the storm, I don't think. I think everything was, which we didn't have the storm that they said we was going to have during that last week. We didn't have it like they said we was going to get. And I sure am glad about that. But we need to pray for the ones down south and the ones that's on the east coast and the ones that's up north too that was hit by it. But I don't think that, we didn't see any of the hard winds that they said we was going to see and the hard rain, but we did see a whole lot of rain, but at times it wasn't all that hard, but it was still enough. And you know, I complained about it. I think everybody I talked to, they complained about all the rain, all the wind, complained about the hurricane. But you know, we in this area right here, we have been blessed. Amen. By God Himself. I don't know the reason why He has been so good to us and so gracious to us, because I don't believe that it's a whole lot of them has been so being that good to Him, but it may be because they're not saved. You know, I don't know. I don't know who's saved and who ain't saved. Only thing I can go by is a testimony and how to live and all that. But if you will, this morning, and I know that I have used these two verses many a times. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. Y'all pray for me this morning, because this is going to be the first time I preach this message. Y'all just pray for me. Pray that God will get the glory from it. And pray that maybe it would help you if you need help. I know it sure has helped me. But in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We know we are in that realm right there. We're in that verse right there because we are at the moment of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ return. And we are in the forefront of all of what's going on, because it says in First Timothy chapter 3 is speaking about that we're going to be in perilous times. We're going to have wars and wars and rumors of wars. We're going to have men lovers of men. We're going to have women lovers of women. We're going to have the homosexuals, the sodomites, per se. Let's use God's word like it says. It's sodomites. It's not no homosexual. It's not no lesbians. A bunch of sodomites. We know all of that. But we see all of that going on. Why? Because that day is approaching the local church. And the day that I'm speaking about approaching is when the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes down, says, "Son," say, "Daughter, I've allowed you to go through so much since you've been saved. But I would just, I'm going to put in the, any terms or English terms that, well, we can understand it, but it's not exactly what God is speaking, saying. But what He is saying is, He says, I am so concerned about my creation. I'm so concerned about each and every living soul I hear. I'm concerned for them. They're not concerned for themselves. And the church is getting the same way. The church is getting to the point now that the church is not even concerned about the lost anymore. Now, we have to be concerned for the lost to be a Christian. Because that's what Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ, His first thing on His mind was that sinner dying and going to a devil's hell, where hell is being enlarged every day. And you know the reason it's been enlarged? It's because God didn't create hell for me, for you, and for them right here. He created hell so small, it was going to be for just His little handful. It was going to be Satan and Satan's angels. That's what he created hell for. And hell is so small, but it's enlarging every day. You know what's enlarging hell every day? All the advertisements I hear. The advertisement of that's in the churches. The advertisement that people are promoting today. Some churches, they're not promoting God. They're not promoting the Word of God. They're promoting what they think is right. Well, it says right here in verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment, and fiery indignation, which shall disavow the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." You know, it's hard to be at the hospital. It's hard to be at a bedside of somebody that you know that you have spoken to and you've talked to for years, and you've prayed with them and everything, but they've never come to accept Jesus Christ. They says, "No, now's not the time for me. I need to get my life straight. I got to change some things in my life." And when people say that, what they're saying is basically, "I don't want no part of your Jesus. I don't want no part of your God." Because people today are saying that. And the reason they're saying that, they don't want no part of God, they don't want no part of Jesus, and they don't want even no part of me or you. that's going to them and taking God's word to them. But even though that they will deny God before us, what does God say? God said, well, go back to them. Go back to them. Just try to, now, to try to, you, they won't get saved at home. They won't get saved out here in the world. But you try your very best to get them in church. Do what you can to get them in church. And allow the Holy Spirit that's in this worship service to do His job. Because as long as people don't come to church, they didn't hinder the Holy Spirit from working on their heart. Because see, before a man could ever get saved, he has to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. This right here is going to be, I've never thought of it this way, and I have too, but I've never preached on it this way. Can one be saved and still not attend church? Can one be saved and still not attend church? We have a whole lot of people out here like that today. I can go out here and I can visit. Me and my wife can. Or I can call somebody. And the first thing they're going to tell me, I don't need church. I don't need church. There's nowhere it says that I have to be in church. They ain't never read the Bible. Because the Bible does plainly tell us that we need to be in church. We need to have fellowship with other people. But let me begin by saying that it does not make any difference at all what you think nor what I think. But what does the Lord think about the whole subject? What does He think? He's got one verse right here. He's got two verses right here. And he's got many verses through the Bible that plainly teaches us that we must be in church, we must assemble together. To what? To so we can grow in spirit and in truth. We cannot grow the way God wants us to grow if we don't never show up in church. Because you're not going to ever get anything out of your life if you never show up in church. But yet the devil's got you fooled. Said, well, you can be saved. You can be saved, you can go to heaven. You don't have to be in church. We got so many TV evangelists out here, and that's what they're saying every time that they come on a TV to you. And I know the TV and even the radio station, they come out, when they come out for the main one reason only. And that was to minister to the shut-in. To minister to the ones that's at the nursing homes. To minister to the ones that's not able to be in church. But they done took it higher than that now. They're not even preaching the gospel. Only thing that they preaching is prosperity. They preaching prosperity that God wants you to be rich. What he just said was right. God does want you to be rich, but he wants you to be rich in him. Not rich in what the world has to offer. You know, they talk about, and I was watching this week, they was talking about the national debt. And just thinking about it, did nobody say anything about this part of it? But just thinking about the national debt. If you're pastor of a church, of all the churches, if they love God like they say they do, and if they love the United States of America like they say they do, then all they got to do, they can come together, they can put all their money together, and probably pay off 3/4 of the national debt. Or maybe can pay it all off. I don't know. Because see, some of these pastors out here are making $50 and $60 and $100 million a year. Now, I want to ask you something. Are they worth it? Is that going to get you to heaven any faster than an individual just preaching for a love offering? No. No. Can anyone be saved and still not go to church? There are any number of scriptures that we could use, but I only want to have one look up and read to Psalms 1, chapter 1, and verse 1 and 2. And it says this. Come on. Psalms 1 and 2. But it's talking about the council. It's talking about sin. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about all the things that's going on today. Let me get over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. Excuse me. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Do we want to be blessed by God? Do you want God's blessing on your life? If you do, read this verse. It tells you exactly what you need to do if you want the blessings. It says in verse 2, but his delight. Now, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Other words, what he's saying is, if you want the blessings of God, then you can't be out here running around with sinners. You can't be out here running around and doing the things that you used to do. Counsel of the ungodly. When I first read that verse of scripture, which has been probably 15, maybe 20 years ago. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Man, I tell you one thing. We got some ungodly city councilmen, I'll tell you that. Because that's what come to my mind. But you know, in reading the Bible and everything, then I come to learn, you know, you need to look your words up. And when the word was, and where it was at, and what it really mean around it and everything. But now I'm not saying that every city council down here is saved. I don't know. But I do know this. The only way they can get saved, and the only way they can receive God's blessings, is get in the house of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work on their heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not. I sure am glad that is there. Blessed is a man that don't walk with the sinners. That don't walk and go into the places that they go into. Yes, I'm supposed to go and witness to them. But that don't mean as soon as I get through witnessing to them that I need to leave. I need to leave and allow God to do His work. Because as long as I'm standing there and as long as I'm around, I'm hindering God from doing His work. I'm hindering God. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. But we're new creatures. Have you ever seen an individual that has went in and had a heart transplant? Have you? Have you ever seen anybody that's had that heart transplant that start up here? Go all the way down here. And they just, what they do, they take that little saw. That saw with the 3.5-inch blade. And it goes up out. And they cut the rib bones in the middle. And then they come on to the side. Cut it like that. To replace the heart. Because that heart has then got weary, and the heart has then got to the point it can't do its job no more. And what that reminds me of is that the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's telling all of us today. Because we know that people today are having heart transplants. And they are having great success with it. They really are. Even with the side effects, even with the medication that they own. The doctors down at Duke, they told me, says, don't worry about the drug that's where you're going to have to take if you have a liver transplant to where your body will accept it. You don't have to worry about that because the cases are very, very slim. He said, because you don't have to worry about it like it would, because today, they've even got medication today that'll even cure it. They've got medication that will even cure stroke. They'll even got medication that will, an individual can take it and the doctor can give it to you if the FDA would approve it. Just like when I had my mini stroke. The doctor come in the room and he told me what happened. When he come in there and told me what happened and everything, he showed me right on this, where the image, on the x-ray where he took. Well, you know, it's supposed to be all basically about the same. But he said, you see all these white spots? He said, what that's called is white matter. That comes from the stroke. And I looked at it and I said, woo-wee. Praise God, I mean, I didn't think I had much of a brain as it was. Now I don't have any at all. Because it looked like, it was more white matter than it was brain cells. But I just asked the doctor. I said, doctor, I said, just do what you got to do. And I turned it over to the Lord. And yes, at first I was kind of worried about it. Yes, at first I was concerned about it. I wasn't concerned about it for myself. I was concerned about it for what it would do to Shelby and Christy. That's the ones that I was concerned about. Because see, I knew that I was going to be okay. Whether if I was here laying on the bed, looking straight up 24 hours a day, I knew that I was still going to be all right. But see, I didn't know how they would take it. I know they would take it hard. And we should. We should think of things like that. Of people that is in position to where they can't do anything. But we, the children of the individual, we need to be there for them. Because I was once told, yes, you're born and your mother gave you birth. And you're a small child. And your mother raised you up. She gave you everything to sustain your life. Now your mother, she's got old. She got some age on her. She is feeble. She don't even know what she's saying half the time. And you saying, Oh, Lord God, why? Why are you allowing this to come upon my mother? There's so many people out here that would go and put their mother in a nursing home. And once they put them in over there, that's it. They may go see them maybe twice, two or three times a year. But let me ask you something. Would your mother wait and just come and visit you if your mother had to put you in a nursing home? If my wife had put me in a nursing home while my mother was living, in the shape that my mother was in, she would have come every day. Whether if she was able to or not, she'd have come. Because that's the type of person she was. But how many people today just put some over there and they go up and they'll sign what they want them to sign up there. And then they'll get everything that they brought from the hospital over there. They'll get in there, take it home, take some of it home, they'll leave a whole lot of it there. But yet, they have no concern. You know what that tells me is? They did not love their mother. They did not love what they had. And it's like a whole lot of people today. They say they're saved, but will never attend church. Will never darken the doors. But yet when something happens within their family or to them, the wife or the individual will call a local pastor. Maybe he don't know but two or three pastors. But he'll call them and see who would hold the funeral. And it's sad when it gets down to that point. When you or not thinking of nobody else but yourself. You need to think of everybody. You need to think about the children that you're raising. You need to think about the grandchildren that your children are raising. You need to be concerned enough. We need to be concerned enough to go to them and just tell them. Says, you know what God's Word says. You know it's not right. You know that you need to be in church. But I want to ask you one question. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you have the blood of Jesus on your life? And if they come up and says, I hope so. Or I don't know. Then, well, we must tell them then. You need to get on your knees. And you need to pray to God that the Lord Jesus Christ will save your soul. And He will write, and you can write their name, your name, in His Lamb's Book of Life. So you can help your family. So you can help your children. So you can help your grandchildren. So you can help somebody that needs help, that cannot even help themselves. There are many people out here today that can't even do for themselves. So many people out here today that they can't even, in a house, can't even clean up. And the house is filthy and all of that. But you know, people today, they're in trouble and they don't know it. They're in trouble and don't know it. I tell you, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting." But exalting one another. That's mean lifting them up. That's mean praying for them. That means going and ask them, "So what did you do this week? Who did you go visit this week? You talk to anybody about the Lord this week?" "Well, no. I just didn't feel led by doing it." I says, "You mean Satan wouldn't lead you to go and talk to him?" He said, "No, not Satan." I said, "Who then?" He says, "God." I said, "Oh, okay. You mean you don't go to church? You don't assemble together with people of like faith? You don't want to assemble with them to where they can help you? Where you say that, you know, you can't go visit your brother or your sister? Or your mother or your father. You can't go visit them." But see, if you was in church, if you was in church and having fellowship with the other believers in Christ, then that would help you to make the decision to ask somebody, "Would you mind going with me? Would you mind going with me? Because I don't know what to say after I get there. I just know that they need God. Would you go?" Can anyone be saved and still not attend church? I don't think so. Because in God's Word, it says it too many places. And He really speaks about it. That you need to just pray. You need to just get under the sound of the gospel. Now, I know that everybody's not going to like my style of preaching. Maybe nobody will ever. Maybe nobody don't ever like my style of preaching. But I have to do what I have to do. I have to obey God. He's the first one that I have to account to. And I'm going to have to give an account for every word that I've ever said. Yes, in some words I've said, and some of the messages I brought, some of it I've said, and I brought out because I was ignorant of the scripture. The Bible teaches that. But God commands his people to assemble together. See the unconcerned and laxed condition of the part of some of those who profess to be God's children. He tells us there, as the manner of some is, some are just indifferent, some plainly defy God, and that's in Exodus 5:2a and 11:5. Some just ignore God. Some just ignore and say, God says, I don't believe none of that. I can't see you. So if I can't see you, why do I need to trust you with my life? I can't see you. He says, God would say to some of them, would say, well, let me ask you something. If somebody come up to you and says, would you believe in that monkey over there? He said, well, yeah, because I can see that monkey. I said, well, guess what? The Lord can too. The Lord also sees you as the monkey. And not only that, and you say, where did the monkey come from? Take exactly where it come from. Come from God. God created the monkey. But why did God create another monkey in you? But he did. But everyone affects someone else. We all affect someone else. What we say, somebody else will hear it and will affect our life. In what way, I don't know. But my prayer is that it will be effective in a positive way. Let us not forget that there is coming a judgment day. As ye see the judgment day approaching, whether we want to believe it or not, the day of judgment is a reality. It's not no myth. It's not just because we're going out here and practicing for a play. That's what we're supposed to be doing now. We're supposed to be practicing. We're supposed to be practicing to be just like Jesus. But a whole lot of us are not. And I know that I cannot be 100% like Jesus. I know that I cannot be perfect as Jesus. But I'm supposed to strive for that perfection. And what that means is I'm supposed to strive for that maturity. Because that's the only way we're going to make it. That's the only way we will make it is by God's grace and his efficiency. Whether we want to believe it or not, the judgment is a reality. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, But after this, the judgment. Whether we want to accept it or not, our judgment will be from who? The pastor of the local church? The missionaries that the church supports? The Christians that are members of the local church? Nope. We're going to be judged by Almighty God. And then that's when he cannot say. And he won't say it. When we stand before God Almighty, and when God looks down upon us, he's going to see everything about us. He knows everything about us. And then he's going to say, "Forgive me, for I not know you. I don't know you. You ain't never come to my house. You ain't never come to and accepted me as your Savior. You never have done any of that. But yet you're coming right now and you're apologizing now. It's too late. It's too late, sir. It's too late, ma'am. It's too late, son. It's too late, daughter. It's too late. It's too late." That's going to be sad words. Yeah, it's going to be real sad words. And we must all admit that our day of judgment may be sooner than we dare to think. In other words, our judgment day may be sooner than we can imagine. Luke 16:22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Judgment day is coming. I don't know what day is coming. No scholar, nobody knows what day is coming. There's number one individual that knows the day is coming. And that's God Almighty. He did not even reveal that to His Son. He kept it to Himself. Why? Because He didn't want His Son to be out here and start worrying about the people that he can't touch. The Bible, to my knowledge, does come right out and say that one cannot be saved unless he goes to church. But it could not be very much plainer without saying it, could it? I must add, from all my experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior, Lord. I think every saved person wants to attend church. I believe that. I believe that if there's a person that is saved, they're going to want to attend church. I definitely believe that. Because I'll tell you, that was one thing that the Lord really put on my heart for me to be faithful. And be faithful in Him in all things. And going to church. I know that I don't live a perfect life. But I can try my very best to live a mature life. Can one be saved and still not attend church? I don't believe they can. I believe it's all through the Scripture. It may be worded a little different than that, but I believe it's all there. Because it can't. Because the reason the Lord Jesus wants you to come to Him, and the reason He wants to save your soul, so He can have fellowship with you. And He can have somebody else come to Him and talk to Him and ask Him, say, Lord, I'm facing something tomorrow. I don't know how to approach it or nothing. But Lord, can you help me with it? And the Lord will help them. Father, we thank you for this day. Now, Lord, we ask God now that you'll go with us. Be with us. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be with each one of us as we go out this week, as we come in contact with people, people that we don't even know, and just invite them, just to see if they're saved. And Father, if they're not, give them a plan of salvation, and invite them to church where we can minister to them, we can help them in their day-to-day walk with Jesus. Bless these people that come out this morning. And Father, I pray that this morning that they heard a message that will touch their hearts about the family members, Lord. And I know, Father, that sometimes families are the hardest one to reach. Family members are the hardest ones to really deal with. But Lord, we know that you can deal with them. They are not that hard for you. Father, I pray and I thank you for this day. Thank you for these people that came out. Bless them this afternoon. And Father, bring us back tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.